From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of July 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear an update of crop conditions across the Corn Belt from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota. And we'll also hear a portion of this afternoon's teleconference with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue and other USDA officials about the way the Trump administration plans to compensate farmers and some others for the losses related to the tariffs and trade disputes that have been wreaking havoc in the commodity markets over the last several months. And we'll do all of that on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. To find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago at the CME Group. Thanks for being with us, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, so tell me about what happened in Chicago, because the press conference, teleconference, that Secretary Sonny Perdue hosted this afternoon started at 12:30 our time. It finished up right at 1 o'clock, and for those of us that were listening in the media, we were supposed to be quiet until then, so most of the details didn't filter out. And was it after that that the beans began to rally?
Well, the beans had rallied on the early morning talk that they were going to be producing this, and now that the details or some of the details come out during that time. Actually, partway through that, we actually saw a little bit of a sell-off, and then they bounced back. So it was on the initial strength of the saying there would be about 12 billion dollars of aid out there somehow. Early buy in the morning was linked to the part that word that China was going to have a stimulus on their infrastructure spending plan, and that helped the U.S. stock market, the crude, the copper, and maybe a little beans early. But then the big move come with the announcement of the trade deal or the CCC helping the U.S. farmer, and Trump making the announcement in Iowa.
Yeah, so a couple of things to think about, because this is a direct payment to farmers, and we'll hear more about that and a piece of the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture's press conference in just a few minutes. But a direct payment to farmers, it does not control supply, doesn't buy supply. Clearly, no settlements for any of the trade disputes at this point. And it's called by the Secretary of Agriculture simply a short-term solution, though it doesn't look in the very short term that there will be any solution to the trade disputes either. Is this good or bad news for producers and the price of commodities over the near, several months?
I guess that's a yes and a no to that question. It's good news because the farming community was very worried about how their bankers were going to be reacting if we didn't get a trade settlement soon. And this does give them some hope and something to talk to about their bankers and their bottom line for the year. No, and it's not good news, and the respect is this means that there's no negotiations going on and doesn't look to be any quick solution to the problem of actually just getting back to selling our crops to the world markets and getting a good price for them. And the Chinese basically embargoing, you know, with their tariffs are keeping buying soybeans away from everybody else but us. So it's a good news, bad news sort of situation. The bad news that hit yesterday was the yields look to be increased by our crop ratings, and you know, the numbers being thrown around are generally more closer to 178 rather than the 174 the government used last time on the corn. That could add 320 million bushels to the crop. And the carry out here is going on that way. And the beans are looking a little better than 50 rather than the 48.5 thrown around. So that just means more crops to sell that we have, but not as good a markets for them. But they're going to get their cash from the government. And unfortunately, we don't like welfare checks. We like to sell our stuff out there. So, it's a good news, bad news.
Did I see also, because basis levels have been substantially better in Brazil, that there is expectation that producers there will plant more acres of soybeans this fall?
Oh, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, they've experiencing a very good basis levels, looking at the increased demand from China and being able to sell and move them out. Their biggest problem is infrastructure for right now and their trucking rates. One of the biggest problems that we're seeing out of Brazil is the government settled with the truckers. And a lot of the people, the the margins they had figured in for new crop and down the road were not that much trucking in them. It puts them in a bind. But all in all, no, Brazil's going to expand their production. And let's face it, Brazil and Argentina will probably have a better year weather-wise this year than they had last year. So that's going to increase their production even more as to sell into that Southeast market.
I believe the number I may have picked up, and I think it was from a Reuters story, was about 5%. But of course, those are all just predictions, and we have to wait and see and tabulate as we move through time. Any new advice for farmers? Are we still just standing aside? And maybe if you could talk about corn for just a quick second.
You know, corn took a little pressure today on the added production looking like that. We were sort of due for a little bit of correction with up all of last week and looking like that. If we could sort of bring a bottom into the corn, then we'd look for maybe a 20-cent rally from that point, probably in the 380 to 390, somewhere in that 385 mark is where we're probably going to make a few new sales in the December corn.
Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Just after the noon hour central time today, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue and others from the United States Department of Agriculture convened a teleconference with members of the media to discuss the compensation packages they've been developing for producers of commodities and other products impacted by the trade and tariff disputes that the Trump administration has been battling in Washington, D.C. Press conference was short on details, and after this 5-minute opening statement, there weren't really many more details that were put forth. Here's Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue.
As you know, President Trump has promised since day one that he had the back of every American farmer and rancher. And today, this announcement is a fulfillment of that promise. Today, we're formally announcing that the Trump administration will be taking several actions to assist farmers in response to the trade damage caused by the illegal retaliatory tariffs that have been imposed on the United States in just recent months. This obviously is a short-term solution that will give President Trump time to work on a long-term trade policy and deal to benefit agriculture, as well as all sectors of the American economy. Unfortunately, America's hardworking agricultural producers have been untreated fairly by illegal trading practices by China and other nations for a while, and have taken a disproportionate hit when it comes to illegal retaliatory tariffs. For decades, China has engaged in unfair trade practices and engaged in the forced transfer or outright theft of intellectual property. So it's clear to everyone that President Trump has gotten China's attention like never before. The programs we're announcing today are a firm statement that other nations cannot bully our agricultural producers to force the United States to cave in. At every step along the way during these recent trade disruptions, it's important to highlight that the correct action from other nations would be to stop their bad behavior, not to retaliate with illegal tariffs. As we made clear today, this administration will not stand by while our hardworking agricultural producers bear the brunt of unfriendly and illegal tariffs enacted by foreign nations. To that end, the Department of Agriculture will be authorizing up to $12 billion in programs, which is directly in line with the estimated $11 billion impact of illegal tariffs on agriculture. These programs will help agricultural producers meet the cost of disrupted markets resulting from the illegal retaliation. The first program, called the Market Facilitation Program, will provide payments incrementally to soybeans, sorghum, corn, wheat, cotton, dairy, and hog producers to help manage disruptive markets, deal with commodity surplus, and expand new markets. The second program, called the Food Purchase and Distribution Program, will purchase the surplus of affected commodities like fruits, nuts, rice, legumes, beef, pork, milk for distribution to food banks, and other nutritious programs. The third and final program will be the Trade Promotion Program to assist, in conjunction with the private sector, in developing new export markets on behalf of producers. All of these programs are currently authorized under the Commodity Credit Corporation Charter Act, better known as the CCC, and will be administered by the USDA, as well as other options that USDA may employ as well. Again, it's important to note that this is a short-term solution that will give President Trump and his administration time to work on long-term trade deals to benefit agriculture and all sectors of the American economy. I appreciate you being with us today. And for any details and questions, I'm going to turn it over to USDA's chief economist, Dr. Rob Johansson, who will walk through these three programs. Dr. Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. As the Secretary pointed out, this program is intended to offset the trade damage that we've seen facing our farmers in a number of commodities. There are three tranches to this program. So let's just start with the first one. As the Secretary pointed out, we've got a market facilitation program, and that's going to provide payments directly to producers of soybeans, sorghum, corn, wheat, cotton, dairy, and hogs. We've got another program that's called the Food Purchase and Distribution Program, and that's going to seek to go out and purchase additional surplus that we're seeing as a result of this these illegal tariff actions for commodities like fruits, nuts, rice, legumes, beef, pork, and milk for distribution to our nutrition programs and food banks. And lastly, as the Secretary pointed out, we're looking to extend and find new markets, develop new markets out there with the assistance of the private sector. And that will not just be targeted to one commodity or another. It's going to be essentially looking to build our markets globally and domestically. So with that, I will also mention that we have some experts in the room here that can help answer some particular questions on the details of these programs. We've got Undersecretary Greg Ibach here. We've got Jason Heffemeister, Senior Trade Advisor for the Secretary, as well as Brad Carman here, Senior Official from FSA, that can talk to and FPAC to talk about how this will work from the county perspective with respect to farmers coming in and applying for the program.
So there were very few details, though we do know this will be a direct payment program, a check written to the farmer based on the number of bushels that are harvested, though the calculations and the method to come to the compensation amount were not released this afternoon, and it appears they're still calculating those. USDA did give us a hint in the last World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report, dropping the cash price of soybeans by 75 cents for the coming marketing year. Just after the release, by the way, of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report, I received an email from the head of the World Agricultural Outlook Board explaining, because I had mentioned something about that drop in price, the 75 cents on the air, as it might relate to compensation, that his work at USDA is not guided at all by the policy features coming from the Trump administration. Bear that in mind. If you'd like to hear the whole of this afternoon's teleconference, you can do that already. Right now, it's up on the website at WILLAG.org. Now let's turn our attention to another USDA function. NASS yesterday reported in the weekly crop progress reports that 81% of the corn crop has silked. That's as of Sunday. The rolling five-year average is 62%. 18% of the crop has entered the dough stage. The five-year average is 8%. The corn crop is slightly better in condition this week than it was last, as is the soybean crop. That crop now stands at 70% good or excellent, with 44% of the crop setting pods. The five-year average is about half of that amount for soybeans. Winter wheat, by the way, harvest is about 80% complete. Now, here are the updates from Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, and Iowa.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS. Iowa farmers had 5.3 days suitable for fieldwork last week. Some farmers had to spend time surveying damage from the tornadoes, high winds, and hail that struck parts of the state on Thursday. Regular activities included harvesting hay and applying chemicals. Flood-related nutrient loss and crop damage remained a concern in the northern two-thirds of the state, while subsoil moisture levels in the south central and southeast Iowa considered short to very short are nearing 75%. 88% of the corn crop is silked, 1 week ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of the five-year average. 7% of the corn crop has reached the dough stage, 3 days ahead of last year and 2 days ahead of the average. Corn condition rated 79% good to excellent. 81% of the soybean crop was blooming, with 40% of the soybean crop setting pods, 5 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition rated 76% good to excellent. 90% of the oat crop was turning color or beyond, with 35% of the crop harvested for grain. Cooler temperatures have provided livestock with some relief from high temperatures experienced in the previous weeks. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Cooler temperatures came to Illinois last week, but rainfall was slightly below average across the state. Temperatures ranged from 1 to 3 degrees below normal, and rainfall averaged 3/4 of an inch, 2/10 of an inch below normal for the week. Southern parts of Illinois and the Northwest were above normal rainfall for the week, while the rest of the state was generally below average rainfall. Topsoil moisture improved slightly and is now rated 4% very short, 16 short, 77 adequate, and 3% surplus. The Illinois soybean crop is now blooming on 88% of planted acres, compared to 74% 1 year ago and 67% for the 5 year average. 66% of soybean acres are setting pods, compared to 24% normally. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 6% very poor to poor, 16% fair, and 78% good to excellent, an improvement from 1 week ago. The Illinois corn crop is now silking on 97% of acres, compared to 80% normally. 33% of corn acres have reached the dough stage, compared to 6% 1 year ago and 14% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 5% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 13% fair, and 82% in good to excellent condition, slightly better than 1 week ago. Pasture conditions were rated 16% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 56% good to excellent, slightly worse than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Well, here's the update from Minnesota.
This is Carla Kodelka, statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Mild weather during the week allowed for 4.6 days suitable for field work. Portions of the state began to recover from flooded fields. However, additional rainfall in some areas led to crops showing continued signs of stress. Field activities for the week included spraying, second cutting of hay, and preparing equipment for small grain harvest. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 6% short, 68% adequate, and 25% surplus. 77% of the corn crop was in or beyond the silking stage, 1 week ahead of the 5 year average. Corn crop condition increased slightly with a rating of 78% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 74%, 3 days ahead of average. 35% of soybeans were setting pods, 6 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 76% good to excellent. 74% of spring wheat was coloring, 6 days ahead of last year. Spring wheat condition rated 85% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 71% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Carla Kodelka.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. With the Indiana Crop and Weather Report, rains and cooler temperatures brought much-needed relief to what had been a dry spell for much of the state. After a generally hot and dry start to the week, storms rolled through over the weekend to the benefit of corn and soybeans, which had been showing signs of drought stress. The widespread rain rejuvenated dry pasture and hayfields as well. Winter wheat harvest had all but wrapped up before the rain events. Livestock were reported to be impacted by the heat at the start of the week, but were faring better at the end of the week with cooler temperatures. Other activities for the week included hauling grain, mowing roadsides, and spraying herbicide and fungicide. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 22, 2018. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, usually on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, would join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's not available. Let's take a look ourselves around the Midwest to begin with to see what the weather forecast looks like in Iowa this week, and we'll use Des Moines as our midpoint. The highs today and tomorrow in the upper 80s drop down to about 79 degrees, maybe a little rainfall on Thursday, again Saturday and Sunday, and Tuesday of next week, and they'll stay in that low 80s, upper 70s period through that time frame. The lows for the week in Iowa, early in the week in the mid-60s, and then they'll drop all the way to 57 by the Friday evening time frame and jump back up to the mid-60s through Tuesday of next week. In Illinois, we'll use Springfield as the midpoint. Illinois, the number two corn-producing state in the nation, of course, behind Iowa. Today, 87, 85 tomorrow, 82 on Thursday. Friday, it dropped to 75, and then they'll stay there in that mid-70s range all the way through Tuesday, though rainfall really in Illinois, in Springfield that is, only scheduled maybe for Sunday. The lows will be in the low 60s, very low 60s, and the very high upper 50s for that same time frame. Nebraska is the third largest corn producing state in the nation. They'll be in the 80s, upper 80s, for a good portion yet of this week. And they'll drop off again, like everybody else, into cooler temperatures by the time we get to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and into next week. Something like 71 degrees on Saturday there. Their lows are a bit lower than ours. They'll be in the upper 50s to the very, very low 60s through the rest of the week. And in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the fourth largest corn-producing state in the nation, 86 today for the high, and then 79. Their high on Thursday is the low over the next seven-day period. That's just 68 degrees. Their lowest low will be on Friday evening at 55. Other places to check in on: Indianapolis for Indiana in the mid-80s for a good portion of this week, and then low 80s to the upper 70s for a portion of next week. And they'll have lows over that time frame in the low to mid-60s. Sunday and Monday of next week, they may have a bit of rainfall there. Out west in Fargo, North Dakota, a bit cooler, just 83 for the day today, 75 tomorrow, 71 on Thursday. They'll stay in the mid to upper 70s through the rest of the seven-day period. Their lows are mostly in the mid to upper 50s. In Kansas, which is now the number five corn-producing state in the nation, they're the hot one, 92 today, 96 tomorrow, 85 on Thursday. Their low comes on Sunday when they finally do drop down to 75 degrees and begin to cool off, but they've got lows in the upper 60s for a good portion of that time frame. So that's a quick look at the weather forecast. You can always find it online at willag.org and listen to it anytime you'd like. Thanks for being with us here on the Closing Market Report. Don't forget the USDA's teleconference from this afternoon that outlines the compensation packages that have been developed for commodity farmers and a few others is already up on our website with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. Find it at WILL.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.